our Bibles now. We're going to get into the book of 1 John this evening, the book of 1 John tonight. And then we'll share some, those that are here, we'll share some prayer requests and pray before we get out of here tonight. But let's get into our Bibles first. And 1 John, I want to preach to you tonight on three practices every Christian must maintain. Three practices every Christian must maintain. And some things here I want to emphasize that I think will be a help to us. I think some of it we've hit on here recently, and the Lord's been giving us a certain emphasis lately, so we want to follow that and try to keep those things before us. Amen? And that's what we got to do is keep these things before us, the Word of God, right? Stay in it. I went to the Preacher's Fellowship the other day in Williamston, and it's a young pastor there. And by the way, I got some pictures. They got our pews reupholstered. In fact, they're a little darker blue than this now, by the way. I got a few pictures. They look really good. And so they're not red anymore. They're blue. So and they've really done a great remodel there, and appreciate your help to help them do what they did. They put not an exact match, but a blue carpet and blue on the pews. And anyway, it looked real good. And real nice, so I sat in those Monday. Ron went with me. But a young pastor and also a very young 24-year-old preacher that was there, so a young evangelist. So I'm glad God's still using young people, calling young people into the ministry, amen, into his service. Well, that being said, John the Apostle was the old man writing to a younger generation of Christians. That's what he was doing here. John's gospel was the last gospel, and this epistle was written to pretty much like a third generation of Christians after Christ. So he's the old-timer at this point, and he's writing to young people. And good to see some young people in church tonight with us, amen. And thank God for it. So let's look at the first four verses tonight for our message. And here the Bible says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." And he's just talking about Jesus, right? "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, direct us in it tonight, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So he writes these things. I said he was writing to a new generation, or about a third generation after Christ. I always tell young Christians, the Gospel of John and the first epistle of John is where you need to start. These are great starting points for new Christians right here. And he said, in verse 4, he talks about these things, "write we unto you that your joy may be full." Aren't you glad you can have the joy of the Lord tonight in the midst of your trouble? Anybody had a busy day today? Anybody? I've heard about some busy days today. I've heard about some running around. I've heard about some just sliding into home plate to get here tonight, right? And some are still out there running and hadn't got in yet. But anyway, so maybe they will yet. But anyway, we get run ragged sometimes. And here we are in December because the year moves so fast, right? And but aren't you glad these things have been written that your joy may be full? Amen? And we'll get back to that here in a little bit. But someone has said, John Phillips said in his commentary, that by the third generation, every movement of God needs a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Apply that to any church. And an older, established church needs a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say before, new churches and new Sunday school classes grow faster than the old ones, right? It's just the way it is, unless God can touch it and keep it going, right? And that is true. So here, in this time period, there was a downward spiral. Compromise was moving into the church, and the last apostle The old apostle John was trying to steer everything in the right direction with the younger Christians and this newer generation of Christians there. Now, someone has said first-generation believers are motivated by their conviction, and they grip biblical truth, and they're willing to die for it. That's what a conviction is. You're willing to die for that truth. Amen? Second-generation Christians are motivated by just mere beliefs, and they're willing to argue for it. Third-generation Christians are motivated by their opinions, and they'll debate about it. Now, you see, there is a downward spiral there, right? And look at America, by the way, folks. We're debating things today that our founding fathers would have never debated. Why? Because they had convictions. Now, we're more than third generation. I get that. But we're a lot farther down the road, and we're dealing with more opinions than we are strong convictions in many ways, right? So it happens to nations. It happens to organizations. It happens to churches. And by the way, it can happen in your Christian life as well. The farther you go along, sometimes you can mellow out even as a Christian, and the convictions become more of opinion if we're not careful, right? So there's some things I believe we just need to maintain in our Christian life. There's some things that ought not change. I'm glad God doesn't change, amen? Culture changes, not God. So John's the old timer. He's watched the spiritual compromise move into the church by this point. In the early church history, he's seen heresy coming into the church in many ways, so he's trying to help out. I think what John said there, what we read there, he almost was saying, hey, listen to me, y'all. It wasn't like this in the beginning. This is not what Jesus intended for the church to become. He's trying to say, hey, we need to maintain some things, amen? Hey, folks, we need to maintain some things, amen? You know, I've said this before, you know, you hear this joke today that if Paul was to come back, the church would be getting a letter, right? I get the little joke. It's kind of funny, but I want to tell you something. Church needs to get back to the letters he already gave us. Amen. If we'll just get back to the letters we already have, we'll do fine. He doesn't need to send the new one. We just need to get back and read the old ones we already got. And John, he would be sending a letter too, right? So John and Paul both, no doubt, probably Peter too. Now this letter was a circulating letter. It was to all the believers in the region, all the believers in the area. It wasn't to any particular local church. Now that's different from a lot of the epistles. This one was more of a circulated letter. So it was to all, he wanted all the new Christians to hear it. He wanted all the churches to hear it. And thank God it's for us today too. Amen. This letter right here, he said, these things we write unto you there in verse 4. This letter will keep us on track. He was trying to keep them on track, trying to get many of them back on track and keep some on track. Amen. And we need that. His gospel started with similar wording in it. If you read John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, you'll see the opening verses are very similar. But in John, the gospel, he was emphasizing the deity of Christ. And now in 1 John, the epistle, he's trying to get the people grounded in their biblical truth, right? So first of all, he wanted people to know who Jesus was. And then he wanted the church to be grounded further in that truth. You've heard it been said many times that the word K-N-O-W is used like 22 times in this book. That's why I think it's good for new converts. K-N-O-W. He wanted them to know the Lord. He wanted them to know that they could know the Lord. He wanted them to know that they knew Him. Amen. He didn't want any doubts. A lot of suspicious doctrine and heresy was creeping in, and it would shake the foundation of people's faith. So he says, hey, I want you to know that you know Him. I want you to have some assurance in your Christian life. Amen. And how we need that today. So again, I think this is a great starting point for new Christians to get the assurance and older Christians to get reassured of things. Amen? Three practices I said we ought to maintain. Number one, I want to say this to you. Number one, we need to stay faithful in our witness. That's what he is doing. He says here, John says he never got over meeting Jesus and being with Jesus. He lets the people know, I knew Him. I walked with Him, I talked with Him, I touched Him, I handled Him, I saw Him, I talked with Him.
Boy, he was assured. He had assurance in his faith, and he was trying to share his story and his testimony so that others could have assurance about their own faith. Amen? Witnessing is one of the things, I'm afraid, folks, it's one of the things we need to maintain, but evangelism is one of the lost programs, if you will, in the local churches today. Just being witnesses and letting our light so shine and inviting people to church. I mean, sometimes we depend on other things. We depend on social media. I try to use it, by the way, to promote the church, and hopefully folks will see that. But you know, they still tell us the number one reason people go to church is because somebody personally invited them to the church. Those kind of relationships, amen? And John was one that wanted everybody to know, I know him. Now, in this case, he's talking about when Jesus was here on the earth. I knew him then. He said, certainly I know him now, and you know him by faith is what he was saying. But he was saying, look, I was with him. At the Last Supper, who was the one leaning on the breast of the Lord? Who was the one leaning on the Lord, right there beside the Lord, close to the Lord? John the Beloved. He said, I've handled him, I've touched him, I've been with him, I saw him. And he says here in the text, in verse 3, I believe it is, that we bear witness. We bear witness. No, verse 2. We've seen it and bear witness. And then in verse 3, he says, we've seen and heard and declare we unto you. What did he say? We bear witness and we declare it unto you. John's saying, hey, I'm trying to tell you about my story. I'm trying to tell you about my Savior. Isn't that what witnessing is? You bear witness whenever you tell somebody you're saved. You bear witness when you give a gospel tract. You bear witness if you invite somebody to church, right? You bear witness if you dare to ask somebody, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? That's a great question. You get into that? It's a great question. Gets people thinking about it. You say, well, I'm in the Bible. We're in the Bible Belt. Everybody says yes to that. Pray. I know you got to get them lost before you get them saved, right? If there is a Bible Belt anymore, you know what I mean. What he said he heard some. What did he hear? Just preached out of the Sermon on the Mount. He heard that. He heard Jesus preach to the masses. He heard Jesus teach the 12 disciples, right? He heard these things. He heard, by the way, we just preached on this too. He heard the confrontations with those Pharisees. When Jesus would outwit them, or they would ask Jesus questions and they would try to trick him and trip him up. He heard all that. He was right there with him. Amen? He heard these things, and the teachings of Christ were always right there with him. He heard the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He heard the Great Commission. We read about it, by the way. The Lord's given it to us 5 times. Matthew wrote about it. Mark wrote about it. Luke wrote about it. John wrote about it. The book of Acts, Luke wrote about it again. The Great Commission, he heard it. He heard the Lord say to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? He heard something. He said, I heard him. And he was declaring these truths. He was bearing witness. We must maintain. He says he saw him too. What did he see? He saw the healings. He saw the miracles. He witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. He helped with that. Amen. He got involved in that. He saw Jesus calm the sea in a storm. He saw Jesus raise them people from the dead. He saw the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were right there. They saw these things. He saw the crucifixion. He also saw and witnessed the resurrected Savior. He also saw Jesus ascend up into heaven. He said, I've seen some things. What is he doing? He's bearing witness to what he knows. Amen? You say, well, I haven't seen all those things. By faith, you know him too. Amen? We have a story to tell ourselves. You can tell your story and your experience, and I hope, like John, you never get over it. Never get over what Jesus has done for you. Never get over the grace of God in your life. You say, well, I was just raised up in church. That's the grace of God. Well, I was just a child. That is the grace of God. Amen. It doesn't matter when you got in this thing. It's by the grace of God you got a story to tell, right? And whenever he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, he's talking to us too, right? But John, he saw some things, but you know what else he saw? He saw apathy coming to the church.
He saw a lack of vision. He saw a lack of service. He saw a lack of sincerity. He saw a lack of being dogmatic about truth. He saw that coming as well. He also saw a lack of witnessing and evangelism. So I think he's saying, hey, we bear witness of these things. Trying to stir you up to do this as well. You know, the world needs to get stirred up with the gospel, don't you think? You know, and I think it was 2012, there was a cruise ship where there was a negligent captain, and he kind of went off course, and he kind of hit some reefs. He wrecked the thing. Well, he also abandoned ship. 30 people died. And they searched for him. They searched for him, and, of course, they arrested him for, they said, failure to do his duty. You know what, folks? We got to ask ourselves as a church sometimes, as churches, are we failing to do our duty where the great commission of saving souls is involved? Is evangelism still the main thing? Is the main thing still the main thing? Amen? We do need to ask ourselves that. We need to ask ourselves, how much witnessing am I doing? How much inviting am I doing? How many gospel tracts am I carrying around and giving out? We got to ask God to help us with these things. You know, someone has said the Christian life is a window through which others can see Jesus. In other words, they can look at your life and they ought to be able to see the Lord, right? But it's not only by life, I think it's also by lip that we talk to them and witness. And that's what he's doing. So I've kind of hit this recently some, and I think it's, but like I say tonight, it's one of the things we need to maintain is our witness, right? Need to maintain our witness. But let me go to number two. Number two, let's have faithful fellowship with God as well. He says in verse 3 again, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John said we need to have faithful fellowship with God. You know, faithful fellowship with God will keep us on track too, won't it? Hey, witnessing to people, being involved in the ministry of the church and all of that, but even more than that, your fellowship with the Lord. That's what'll motivate you and keep you involved in the church. That's what'll take care of you when your flesh is weary and you're ready to burn out and you're ready to quit and give up and stop all this stuff. Fellowship with the Lord to keep it going. Amen. Fellowship with the Lord to keep us going in hard times. So the eternal God became incarnate flesh. You know, John didn't give the Christmas story, but he did tell us about the incarnation of Christ, right? He did it in a more doctrinal way, and he does it here as well. And he talks about the Word of Life. And in John chapter 1, he talked about that God became flesh. That was his version of Merry Christmas right there. Amen. He was telling about Jesus, and he didn't give all those details about him taking on human flesh and being born in a stable and placed in a manger. But he talked about the doctrinal truth of God taking on human flesh. Why? So that God could relate to man and man could have fellowship with God. That's what it's all about, right? Why did the Lord become one of us? So that we could fellowship with Him. He said there, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 1:12, He said, as many as believed on them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You're in the family now. He's your Father via Jesus Christ, right? Faith in the Son, and you now have the Father, you're in the family. What happens in the family? Fellowship. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying that we can have fellowship. We ought to maintain our fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's our Father. We pray to our Father in heaven. But we know we go through His Son, Jesus, right? Dear Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ, right? That's the avenue there. That's how we got into the family. And we can fellowship with Him. And John was talking about fellowship. He said here, in John, the Gospel, John 1, he talked about, he called Him the Word. We know Jesus is the Word in person, but also the Word in print. Here he uses the phrase Word of Life. He's the Word of Life.
In our life, we can communicate fellowship. Word. How do you fellowship? How do you communicate? How do you talk? Words. Amen? Right? You ever met up with somebody of another language? We had a young lady come in here Sunday night after choir practice, and she asked if anybody knew Spanish. And I said, no comprendo. No, I didn't say it. I said, Miss Susie was nearby. I said, I think this lady does. No. And then Alan came in, and I said, anyway. We finally helped her. We finally got enough that we helped her a little bit. Amen? But it's tough when you can't communicate, right? We finally found out what she was about and what she wanted, and we were able to help her with that. But communication can be tough. That's why Jesus became one of us, so that we could communicate and fellowship with God Almighty. We know God as we know the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He became a man and lived in this life, and he walked in our shoes. He was tempted in all points so that, why? You and I can relate to him. He understands us, and we understand him. You know, in John 1, he said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. That's what he's saying. We beheld him. I held him. I saw him. I heard him. He's saying some of the same things here. And then also in John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What does that mean? He made him known. He made him manifest. He made him relatable. So he said, I think you can fellowship with us. You can fellowship with the Father. You can fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for the fellowship tonight, folks? He invited others. He said, hey, I've walked with Him. I've talked with Him physically and spiritually. Now, you know, John had an advantage. Peter and James and John, all of them, yes, they walked with him, but even Peter talked about that. Peter talked about whom, having not seen him, you love him, right? Peter said the same things. I've seen him. I've talked with him. I've been with him. I knew him personally. You know him by faith. He said, I love him because I was with him. You love him because he spoke to your heart. And you've trusted him by faith. And you have experiences with him too. Peter and John both were saying those same things that Jesus made him visible. He said to Philip, have you known me this long, Philip? And then you want to say, show us the Father. He said, I'm the Father of one. If you've known me, you know him. Jesus made him known so that we could relate to him. Now of course, we do it today through the Bible. The Word, right? You read your Bible, God talks to you, right? You pray, you talk to God, and the Spirit talks to you. You go to church and you hear preaching, God speaks to your heart, right? You worship the Lord, you interact with the Lord. How about when you serve God? Do you talk to Him when you serve Him? You say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, I'm about to witness for you. Lord, help me, I'm about to sing in the choir. Lord, help me, I'm about to teach a class. Lord, help me, I'm an usher today, and the preacher might call on me to pray. Amen, right? Or any of this stuff. Or whatever you do throughout the week for the Lord, you ask Him to enable you and empower you and help you. Do you ask Him to help you overcome temptation and overcome this old sinful, wicked flesh? You stay in communication with Him? Do you tell Him you love Him? Do you thank Him for loving you and saving you? Do you fellowship with Him? I'm saying you need to maintain your witness. He was doing that, but He said you need to maintain your fellowship as well. Why? Because these were new Christians that were drifting out into other things as other things were creeping into the church. And He's like, hey, you fellowship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that'll get all the false stuff out. Fellowship with the Lord. A little poem says, thank you, Lord, for walking with us every day. You're our guardian, friend, and guide. May we sense your loving presence and always know you're close by our side. That's just a good way of saying thank you, Lord, for the fellowship, right? Thank you, Lord, for the communion, communication.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love letter. Thank you for prayer so I can talk to you today. He said, hey, maintain your witness, dear Christian, but maintain your fellowship with God. But then let me go to number three, and that is this. You need to maintain something else. Number three, and that is fellowship with other believers. Because he said in verse 3, you also may have fellowship with us. Then he said, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. But he said, you fellowship with us. We're social creatures. Now, that means if you're a Christian, if you're saved, you're an extrovert and you're an outgoing person. I'm kidding, all right? Okay, let me stop right there. I'm just messing with you a little bit, okay? Everybody's not an outgoing extrovert, right? A lot of preachers aren't, by the way. Just put on for a little while, you know, and pretend to be. But everybody is a social creature because we're made in the image of God. Everybody, we're not made to be alone. Not good for a man to be alone, the Bible says. We're made to fellowship with one another. And you know, one reason that God gave us the local church is to provide that need for good Christian fellowship with brothers and sisters in the family that we can get to know. God wants, aren't you glad for good friendships within the house of God? Good relationships within the church. I mean, I've seen over the years so many people make close bonds within the church. Strangers come in. We call them visitors, and they come in. Some of them come in, become part of the church, become part of the family over a while, amen? Right? Isn't that right? You've seen it happen so many times. We've seen some come in and have to move away and leave. That breaks our heart. Why? They had become a part of the family. One day they were just a visitor coming in. We're saying, who are y'all? How are you doing? Where do you live? You coming back? Hope you do. Next thing you know, they're joining the church and they're in the ministry and they're part of the family. Amen? God puts the church together like that. And he puts, and his love is shed abroad in our hearts towards one another. The Holy Ghost sheds that love abroad in our hearts for each other. It's the reason for the local church. It provides that need for fellowship. Now I said here, in this case, this was a circulating letter. That means this. It wasn't written to a particular local church like the church in Thessalonica or the church in Philippi. It wasn't like that. It was to several churches. You know what that means, folks? Hey, we love our church and we love the brethren in our church, but we love Christians in other churches too. And some of those churches may not be exactly like us, but they're still our brethren and we love our brethren, right? We wish they'd all just come to Liberty Baptist Church and be in the right church, amen? But we have, it's kind of like I did Monday when I go to these preachers' fellowships. We're not in a denomination, but we do fellowship with other like-minded churches and other like-minded pastors and preachers and their churches one another. You know, we have a revival. We have churches come visit us, right? Fellowship with the other brethren. And there may be fellowship with, it might be a Christian that you work with, and they don't go to a Baptist church, but you know they're a Christian, right? Amen. We're not going to say, well, you're only right if you come to my church, you know, and it's not going to be like that. This isn't the only group that's going to be in heaven. So we fellowship with other believers like that as well. Now, you got to look out for the old devil. See, the old devil knows that God made us to be social creatures. Does the world have their own fellowship gatherings and places to go? Boy, the devil will give them a good time, won't he? He'll say, you're a social creature. You need to be with other people like yourself. So he'll open up the nightclub, right? He'll give them their crowd to go hang out with. And corrupt them with bad manners, right? Wrong kind of crowd. Don't fall for the devil's counterfeits. That's what it is. He knows we're social creatures. We need to have the friendships. We need to have that fellowship. But the Lord gave us the local church for that. Don't isolate yourself. Yeah, I mentioned it recently. People say, well, I can be a good Christian without the church. You know, that's like a soldier without his army.
We need to have this fellowship too. I love it. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I like church time. Amen. I like to see the brethren and the sisters come in as well and have fellowship one with another, right? Boy, it lifts your spirit, doesn't it? It helps you. You've had a busy day. You had somebody cursing in your ear all day, perhaps, and you've been getting beat up by the world, perhaps. Come in here and get a sweet lifting of your spirit, right? To be with the people of God. Don't dodge church fellowship. I told you before, my late brother, he's in heaven now, but whenever he pastored one particular church that ended up going through a rough patch, a rough spot. And well, to make a long story short, he kind of stuck it out. His deacons backed him up. Well, the trouble crowd left. And he said after that crowd left, he said, obviously our crowd was smaller, but we had a much sweeter spirit. But he said later, he said, and I noticed too, when we'd have church fellowships like Sunday night after church, he said that trouble crowd never would come. They never went to church fellowships. They just wanted to go gossip about everybody or something. I don't know. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to tell you, folks that love to fellowship with other Christians and not just fight with other Christians, hey, there's something to be said for that. Amen? Anyway, whatever that might mean, but John wrote a lot here about loving the brethren. And you know what? Verse 4 really is the result of this fellowship that he's talking about with God and the brethren. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, I think these things means everything that he's going to say in this letter, but including what he just said. Bear witness, fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. And you know what will happen? If you maintain the right fellowships, you'll maintain your joy as well. You can have the joy of the Lord in your heart if you hang out with the right people. Now, you hang out with the wrong people, will that affect your joy as well? If you hang out with only negative people or only sinful people or only wicked people, only liberals, in theology, will that affect your joy? Yes. But if you're with the right crowd, you'll be more joyful. Amen. The joy of the Lord will help you. That's why you say, well, preacher, I had a busy day and it was hard to get in here tonight. But I'll tell you, it's kind of good just to get away from some things and get in here with sweet fellowship. Amen. And it'll restore the joy of the Lord in your heart. We need to maintain. That should have been a point number 4. Maintain your joy. Amen. I didn't work it out like that. But if we'll maintain our witness and maintain our fellowship with God and maintain our fellowship with the church, it'll help us have this joy as well. I think these are three practices every church needs to maintain. Your witness, your fellowship with God, your fellowship with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. I'm glad you believe in the church and you want to be a part of the church. I'm glad we're still the church in the area that has Wednesday night church. I know a lot of other stuff's going on tonight. I know that. And I know that the schools and the ball organizations, they don't recognize Wednesday night as church night like they used to. They used to, didn't they? You're not going to do that stuff on Wednesday night. We know that's church night. Well, I know that's a bygone day, unfortunately. But I'm glad we still have Wednesday night church. Amen. That middle of the week, lifting your spirits. That middle of the week, fellowshipping with God and the brethren. Preaching the word. Boy, it'll help you out. Amen. It helps me out. I hope it does you as well. Maintain these things. Your witness. Your duty as a Christian witness. Are we still doing that? Let's don't abandon our duty like we said a little while ago. Let's don't abandon our fellowship with God, and let's don't abandon our fellowship with one another. May God help us. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Dear Lord, we know that we need all these things we've talked about and emphasized here this evening. We need it, Lord, in our spiritual life, our Christian life, our church life. Lord, I pray you'd help us, God, to be more conscious all the time, Lord, of our Christian witness and, God, of our fellowship with you. First and foremost, and then our fellowship with the brethren as well. And Lord, I just pray you would use this some way, somehow, Lord, however you want to, in somebody's heart and life to help us all. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Amen. Amen. Get your hymnals out. We're going to sing a song. How about that? Fellowship and worship together with a song.
Amen. Let's stand one more time tonight. We're going to turn to 601. 601 in your hymnals, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We'll sing the first and third verse. 601 in your hymnals.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Oh, what fellowship we have. Amen. Thank God. Appreciate that song tonight. Good selection there. All right. Now, thank you for those that have watched us tonight and joined us by way of live stream.